Welcome to today's sermon. I'm Mike Adams with Abundance.Church, and this isn't about a particular book of the Bible, but rather this sermon is in response to what's been happening with all of the victims of Helene, the hurricane that swept through, dropping feet of rain, like 27 inches of rain in some parts of North Carolina. Of course, it hammered parts of Florida, Western Georgia, South Carolina, and Tennessee as well. And you say, well, what does this have to do with Abundance Church? Well, here's the thing. Many people were swept away in their homes while they slept. And they were just taken, gone. Massive mudslides, rock slides, trees, big trees coming from up the mountain would come down into the gullies as the gullies gave way because of the liquefaction due to all the rain, inundation. And these mudslides took out entire groups of homes as people, mostly elderly people, were in those homes, often sleeping. And when we talk about the rapture, we talk about Revelation, we talk about 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and in many places there are references to those who are asleep, but who are of faith. And this description of being asleep refers to those who died previously. You know, we are still alive, many died before us, but they too shall be raptured if they are worthy. And we already covered the timing of the rapture. It's very clear, at least to me now, that the rapture happens at the end of the trumpets, which is the end of tribulation. It's right at the end of the world, actually. And the rapture, it doesn't mean that you won't be killed by the events of the end of the world. It just means you'll be saved in your soul. You will be brought up to heaven and judged on your worthiness from your book of life. And if you're judged worthy, then you'll join Christ and the Lord in heaven, which is a completely different dimension. But here's the thing. None of us knows the day on which we're going to perish in our physical form. And what this very powerful storm taught us is that, number one, this storm, many of us believe this storm was steered using geoengineering technologies, and it was steered on purpose into a particular area to kill a large number of people and to disrupt a large number of people, basically rural people who are mostly pro-faith people. These are people who go to church. These are Christians. These are people who vote based on their faith. And now they're not going to be able to vote, obviously, because, you know, the election's not far away and the roads don't even function. There's no power and there won't be power for months. So there were truly demonic forces that steered this storm into the Appalachians, specifically to target a certain type of person, certain families, certain rural people, and the kind of people who go to church. And by the way, I saw a report that there were 60 people who were found dead together in a church. They had gathered in the church as a place of safe haven, thinking that the church would be safe, and yet the flash flood and the mud swept through, and they were killed, and they were encased. Many of them were encased in mud up to their waist, and they were still standing, but encased in mud and dead. They could not move. That's shocking. It's horrifying. But the point in this, and why this matters, and why I'm recording this sermon today, is because you don't know the day or the hour that you will go. Those very people, the day before, they were just like you and I. They were, you know, using the internet and making breakfast and, you know, driving into town to get some groceries and gas or whatever. And then 24 hours later, they're dead. They're swept away. They're buried in tons of rock and mud. They drowned. There were so many families that drowned because the water kept rising Some of these rivers went 27 feet vertically over their banks, 27 feet. As the waters were rising, they would climb up into the second floor of their homes, if they had a second floor, and then the waters kept rising, and so they would climb onto the roof. And then the waters kept rising, and then eventually the house would collapse underneath them as all the debris and the logs and trees and other collapsed houses were flowing downstream, basically a bunch of battering rams. And then the house they were on would collapse, and even though they're on the roof, the whole roof would be plunged into the river of mud, which, of course, in Revelation refers to it as the great wine press, and often talks about the blood of the waters, because the water is churning as the color of blood. So those people died. They died, and there are thousands dead. And as of right now, our own government won't even acknowledge but a couple hundred deaths. It's thousands who died. What this needs to remind all of us who are still living is that the day of your death can come like a thief in the night. It can come just so fast, and you have no way to stop it. You're in the wrong place at the wrong time, or maybe one day just a comet impact hits your house, you know, just lands right in your town, and everybody's dead. You don't know when that day is coming. And I'd like to read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. That means, you know, unexpectedly. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness. This is a reminder to all of us of how we should live our lives until that day comes. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. And when they're saying, therefore, let us not sleep as others do, I think in this case, it's talking about being a zombie, you know, being an unaware, non-player character type of person, to be asleep, unaware, unawake, you know, not red-pilled. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. In other words, be alert, be sober. And you notice that what I advocate as part of the Church of Natural Abundance here is, I don't drink any alcohol at all. I'm not saying that it's a sin to drink some alcohol. And by the way, we've covered the tremendous health benefits of red wine because of grapes. And that's medicine. If I were to drink alcohol, I would drink red wine for that very reason, because of the resveratrol and all those benefits. But anyway, we need to be alert when it counts. So verse 8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. So this is referring to, you know, the armor of God, Ephesians 6. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. We should live together with him. That's the key part of this verse. We should live together with him. Whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. He's saying, don't be sad. Don't fret about the fact that your life will end or that a day of destruction will come. Know that if you live together with Christ in your life, that whenever that day comes, well, you will be with Christ and the Lord for eternity. Let me share with you James chapter 4, verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. See, a lot of lessons of morality here, but this is the point. Your life is short and you don't know how long you have left. All of our lives are short. For those victims in North Carolina, they thought they might have 20 years or more, but they actually had less than 20 hours. The next day they were gone. So we don't know when that day is coming. Is there something that you need to do spiritually before that day comes for you? Because you don't know that that day might be tomorrow or the next day or a week from now or for any of us. Is there something that you need to ask God to forgive you for? Or is there a forgiveness that you need to grant upon others who have wronged you? Is there something that you need to do to earn God's good graces so that you might be judged in a positive light when that day comes for you? This is the time to do it. Now. Not another day, not on your calendar for next month. No, it is now. Because we don't know how much time each of us has left. Here's something interesting. Psalm 103, verse 15. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, meaning, of course, those who are obedient to him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. So, once again, life is short. It can come and go in an instant. And often, it's out of your control. And this is a very important theme for us to talk about here. There are things that happen in this world that are far outside of your control, such as a giant mudslide, or a hurricane, or an earthquake, or what have you. But there are things well within your control, such as the choices that you make each day, or how you spend your time, or whether you choose to pray, or your demeanor with other people, how you choose to treat others. These are your choices and yours alone. No one can take them from you. And these are the choices that are the most important in determining how you will spend eternity. So if you think about it, the things that you don't control, they are really the least important in the big picture beyond this life. Yes, your physical body can be killed instantly beyond your control. But your eternal soul, where you go, whether you go to heaven, whether you spend eternity with the Lord, that's something where you have absolute control. And isn't that a relief? Because it's easy to feel bad about the world or a lot of fear or trepidation about the world. Oh, I can't control these things. I can't control the price of food. I can't control natural disasters. I can't control my neighbors. And their really loud car or whatever your neighbors have. These are things that you can't control. But there are many things that you can control, and those are the things that count. How you choose to live with Christ, to express your alignment with Christ, to follow not just the Ten Commandments, but more of even Christ's teachings in the New Testament. This is all your choice, and it's within your power to determine that. And then, if you are taken one day, all of a sudden, you will know that you lived with Christ for every day that you had as a flower in the field of grass. And then the Lord will have mercy on you, because you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to be a person of good heart, of faith, and to be on the path of living with Christ with each passing day. And that's something that we can all do. It's also something that no one can take from us. Because I want to point out something else to you here, which is that everything that you have seen up to this point, these storms, the food inflation, the wars, everything that you have seen is tiny compared to what's coming. You're going to be tested in ways that you could not have imagined. You're going to be spiritually tested. Your faith will be tested. What the demonic forces of our planet have planned for us is mass extermination. And for those who survive it, they plan mass enslavement. The beast system is their plan. But they also plan to carry out mass murder by the billions. You need to understand that faith is what will get you through this. And that God's protection, which is in the world of your soul, may not always stop your physical body in this simulation from being destroyed. You could still be killed, even though you're a person of faith, killed in your body, but of course, resurrected in your soul. There are going to be events that occur soon that will strike fear into the hearts of many. And yes, many of them will appear to be biblical. And we may indeed be in the first of the seals in Revelation. It's hard to tell until the comet impacts begin. That's when we know the clock has really started ticking. But until that day, it's debatable. There's different ways to interpret world events. There have long been many wars, and there's been pestilence and famine and so on. There's been conquering throughout human history. So those things are not necessarily new. So we don't know for sure, but I believe that we will face the most psychically and spiritually shocking events of our lifetimes in the days, weeks, and months ahead. And we need to be ready for this. You will be probably at moments terrified. You will feel like you are losing everything, or that you're losing your nation, or that you're losing your life, or that you're losing your future or your bank account. I mean, there will be a financial collapse as part of this, and people will lose all of their digital money. I have no doubt about it. That's coming. It's part of the psychological war against humanity, is to take everyone's money and instantly thrust people into mass poverty while the homes are taken over by the giant hedge funds and the dark corporations that are even named after, I'm not going to say their names, but they're named after dark stones. Uh-huh. Why do you think that is? Well, darkness, of course, is always about evil and satanic forces, suffering and death. So when you have powerful hedge funds that are named after darkness, you know what they intend to do. It's going to be financial destruction. So there will be so many shocking events that occur to people, and they will feel like their reality is slipping away. It's faith in God that will anchor you as these events unfold. And also, of course, your community, your family, your friends in faith, your church in faith, and perhaps people that you can hear from, perhaps even these sermons bring you a measure of faith. But the real faith that you'll find is faith in God, faith in walking with Jesus, faith in reading scripture. This is what's going to get you through these very dark times. And that serves two purposes. Not only will it help you survive all of this, but if you do not survive it, if you are struck with, a mudslide or a tsunami or whatever happens, or a nuclear weapon, or if any of us are, well, then at least we know that up to that day, we were living our lives with Christ, and that we will be judged by God in a very favorable manner. And we will have achieved what God asks us to achieve in this world, which is to live with Christ and to teach the word of Christ, to be truthful and righteous, to have courage. These are the things that are specifically named: to be a person of good morals, to be a person who helps others, to be a person who is humble, to be a person who forgives, and so on. And of course, there are boundaries and limits to all of that. You can't always forgive everybody for every horrible thing, right? And sometimes, like somebody's breaking into your house, threatening you with violence. Yes, you have the right of self-defense. And so, when the commandments say, thou shalt not kill, what it actually means is thou shalt not murder, but to kill in self-defense to stop violence is perfectly acceptable in the eyes of the Lord if it is justified. Not that you go out and look for it, but if you have to engage in that behavior in order to save your family, yourself, your property, your life, your body, then that is perfectly justified, of course. But be prepared for what's coming. Be prepared in faith. Be prepared physically with the extra food and water supplies. You notice how many people in North Carolina had no water, even though there was water all around them. They were inundated with water, but within 3 days, they said, we've run out of water. How can that be? Well, they ran out of bottled water. That's what they mean by water. Well, there was water everywhere. All they needed was a water filter, and they could have all the water that they could pump through the filter, or a gravity filter, or something like that. But people were surrounded by so many solutions. Even North Carolina and Tennessee is rich with wild foods. But if you don't know what wild foods are, you can starve to death while you're surrounded by food. And by the way, that's food that's placed there by God. That's Mother Nature's food. Wild foods are God's foods. And so people say, we've run out of food, we've run out of water, while there's actually food and water everywhere around them. But they didn't recognize it because they were living in the world of shadow food and shadow water, and they no longer recognize God's gifts from Mother Nature. And finally, it's worth mentioning that even if you lose everything in your home, if your home is swept away and all your accounting records are swept away and all your IDs and your passport and, you know, your computer files and everything, if you escape that and you have your life, and most importantly, if you have your soul intact, that's what counts. Because you know what? Everything that got swept away, I know it's useful in this world, but you can't take any of that with you. So put it in perspective. And again, I'm not trying to say it's easy to lose everything. It's absolutely not. If you have a fire or a flood or earthquake and you lose a lot of property, it is devastating. I absolutely understand that. And since this is a 3D physical world, we all need, you know, shelter, structure. We need food. We need clothing. We need a vehicle for transport and so on. We need these things, and it's not easy to lose them. But remember, it's not the end of your existence because you can't take them with you. So whatever happens, whether you have good fortune in this world or you get hit by a natural disaster or anywhere in between, what really counts is what you take with you, and that's your soul. So keep that in mind, and thank you for listening today. A little bit shorter sermon today, but I felt like this was the most important message to share with you. And know that we have sent many, many pallets of emergency storable food to the victims of this hurricane. By the time you hear this, we may have sent the second truck. These are tractor-trailer trucks, commercial carriers with multiple pallets. We sent 10 pallets on the first truckload to a staging area in North Carolina. And this is the first function of our church, actually, the church just got created, the paperwork of it. So this is the very first rescue function or relief aid function of our church. God called us to do this. And I can't believe that the church was formed, you know, in essence, just days before this storm hit. And thus we're able to do this. And of course, I've had on the commercial business side of what I do, I've had the infrastructure in place for many years, and I've been building up infrastructure. And you know, I forgot to tell you this. It was over a year ago that I was called to overproduce Ranger buckets. These are the storable food items that we're donating. I essentially got the message that we need to overproduce. And since we had the space in the warehouse, we have large pallet racks, and you can stack pallets vertically, like three high, I think, on each on their own shelf. With forklifts, we have forklifts that do all this. But I knew that I should overproduce on purpose. And so I directed my team, you know, spend the money, get the inventory, buy the raw materials and do the manufacturing. And for a long time, they sat there, you know, for many, many months. And people weren't really buying them that much, but I knew that a day would come. I knew that a day would come. And then about 100 days ago, I was called to start the church, this church, the Church of Natural Abundance. And then days after the church is formed on paper, all of a sudden the storm hits and we're called on to do what? Oh, to deliver food to those in need. And we just so happen to have pallets and pallets and pallets, hundreds of pallets of food. And I mean, manufactured, vacuum packed, nitrogen flooded, formed and sealed in heavy duty bricks, we call them. And then the bricks are filed inside the buckets, and the buckets are rugged and weatherproof and waterproof and everything. I mean, we had hundreds of pallets of these sitting on the shelves in our warehouse when this storm hit. So because I listened to God, he guided me into just being ready, just being there when this moment of need came. And I think he did the same for many, many other people. I think as satanic forces will steer storms to harm people, but God's angels steer good people to help out and to try to keep people alive. And remember that. Sometimes you're called upon by God to do something and you don't know why. And sometimes you have to just walk in faith, put one foot in front of the other. You know, a few months ago, when people, I informed them that I'm called upon to start this church and to teach Bible sermons. I said, I've been called upon to teach 100 sermons in 100 days. And, you know, some of them snickered. It's like, yeah, that's really funny. There's no way you're going to do 100 sermons in 100 days. There's no way you're going to start a church. There's no way you're going to do any of that stuff. Like, okay, ye of little faith. Here we are on sermon number like 72. Haven't missed a day. Haven't been sick. Haven't missed a day. God has kept me doing this. God directed us to overproduce food. We had the food, rolling it out to people in need. This is the way God works. I'm just saying, and I say this with all humility, be ready for God to work in your life in a similar fashion. You may be called upon to do things and you don't even know why. But if you feel strong in the Spirit, then know that the Lord is speaking to you, and have that faith and move forward in that project. And you may have to do so for months before it even becomes clear why you were called upon to do that. So having faith means walking with the Lord and letting him comfort you as you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Don't fear evil, but walk in faith, live in faith, and then you'll be okay no matter what happens to us. So that's my sermon today. Thank you for listening. God bless you all. Abundance.church is where you can find all the other sermons and many more to come, and also, of course, some difficult times yet to come. I promise I will get back to foods and herbs and oils of the Bible. That's actually what I prefer to do. But then giant death hellstorms are unleashed upon our country, and then we need to focus on that for a while instead. But thank you for listening, and I'll have another sermon for you tomorrow. Take care.